It's all about the words of encouragement. And today is no different. Today we have a story for you, told from the lips of the man who has been living it for so many years. Today will allow you to put your own life into perspective. Today will cause you to take a serious look at the times that you cry, "Woe is me." Today, you will consider your blessings and not your challenges. With me today is none other than God's miracle man, Keith Tucker, in the house. Yo, Keith!
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I am blessed and favored and full of flavor, my brother. You don't know.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, man. I don't even have to ask you because, yeah, I live it.
Amen.
Favor every day. Blessings in abundance.
Yes.
Yes.
Good measure pressed down, shaken together.
Running over.
Hallelujah. Yes, man.
Now, Keith, I started out by saying the things that I said because so often, man, we see the different challenges that we have in life and we complain bitterly that we have to face them. You know, we don't want none of them at all. And we all say, "Why me, God?"
But it's so true. And everyone in life question challenges that they may go through.
Yes.
But sometimes when we do question them, we miss the bigger part of it. That challenges are there to even strengthen us.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Now, Keith, you have a very powerful story, man. I won't even attempt to tell it. I'll let you do the honor. But I just want to say, for all of you people who always are complaining about life and all of the things were unfair to you, give an ear, lend an ear or two, or your neighbor them you borrow for them ears too. And hear the story of the man, Keith Tucker. Keith, when did you perceive that life was not going to be the same as you knew it then?
All right, first of all, I just want to say good afternoon to my listeners. And to your question, it was actually 1996. Yes, I ended a normal day. You know, have my July 27th, 1996. Up and about to do my normal chores, relaxation, play football. And my friend's mom decided to take her to the country instead of having her taking the bus down, the hustle and the bustle.
Yes.
We took her down. And when she reached down safe, that's in Maypen, Clarendon, we were coming back, my friend and myself, and it was in the vicinity of the Glenmore Road. There was some gravel right there at the edge of the road, in the middle of the road, at the edge, sorry about that, near a precipice. And I positioned the car in order to avoid the precipice and the gravel. And immediately a truck came around the corner with an head-on collision, and I had to swerve from the truck. The same gravel I was trying to avoid. It skidded in the gravel and took us over the precipice.
My word.
Just as how you see it in the movies. Car keep flipping on the top, on the side, on the side again, on the wheels, and then it while it was going down, David cried out, "Jesus!" And I kept reassuring, "I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay," until it landed blam at the bottom of the precipice. The car crushed right up. The roof came in and everything, and the roof came in and it pressed down on my head and it snapped my neck. And my neck was broken into three places. By this time, I didn't even know, but I knew something was seriously wrong. And then, you know, persons in the rural era, very helpful.
Yes.
They came and they rushed down the precipice, going down bushes and all them stuff. And they took us out, and they took us back up the hill. And God was so gracious to us. A van was there. Don't even know these people, waiting to take us to the Maypin Hospital. And they took us to the Maypin Hospital. And when the doctor examined me, the doctor was so shocked when he used a needle to stick me. From my neck down, there was no feelings, no movement, nothing at all. And there was nothing that they could do at the time. So the doctor just pushed me in a room and they left me. And they waiting for the quote-unquote medical report inevitable, but it did not matter, thank God. And
so he was expecting you to die?
That's correct. Most definitely. And because there was nothing they could do. So what they did, they said, the facility not here to assist me, to assist Sister Keith. We have to transfer to Kingston Public Hospital. And there, they made the arrangement with my family, and they took us down. And when I went to KPH, I spent 3 months there. They had to bore my skull to, and then put me in what is called skull traction to pull the neck back into position. And even then, the doctors thought I would not have survived. They told my family I would have maybe only lived for about three days. Then they gave me 3 weeks. And then they gave me 3 months. And they said, wait, what is happening here? Then the nurses, the doctors, everybody started asking me, which church you go? Because there on my back, I was always praying. Never stopped praying. Asking the Lord to have mercy on me and to spare my life. And things just started changing. I started coming around now. Feelings start coming back into my body from my chest area going down. Doctors, nurses, surprised at what is happening. And that was at KPH. Then they transferred me to Mona Rehabilitation Center.
Yes.
And that's where there was a turning point in my life right there. And that's where I started aggressive therapy. And there at Mona, I spent 1 year and a month in the hospital. Just being in the hospital. Not didn't even see the sky for 3 months. Not even to see my neck, because my neck was in something called a neck collar, but it was a special one to keep the neck up.
Yes.
To prevent further injury. And I didn't even see the rest of my body because my neck was looking up, my head was up.
Yes.
And if I even want to see my hand, because still paralyzed from the neck down, I had to ask somebody to lift up my hand. Yes, just to see my hand, which is on my own body. And this is things we really...
We take for granted, eh?
Yes, indeed. Not giving thanks, you understand? Even to feel it, it's a blessing, you understand? And during that time at Mona Rehab, I made it my point of duty to wake up 3 a.m. and I pray every morning, 3 a.m. And I heard a voice in my heart say to me one morning, Keith, you can't move. And I started feeling feelings back in my body from my chest area coming down to my foot bottom. And in the morning, I ignored the voice because I wasn't even sure. And in the morning, about 9 o'clock, when it was visiting hours, one of my friends came to visit me. And he lift my hand up and I saw my fingers moving. And I turned to him and I said, you know, I didn't say to move my fingers, just to look at them. And him says, it's not me moving them, you know. So I said, boy, if it's not you, it must me. And when I tried to move one finger, it moved. And that was the only thing I could move on my body. Just a finger. And that was a major turning point in my life. It was as if I could walk. Believe me, just to move only one finger on my body. Being paralyzed from my neck down, I shout out in the hospital. The nurses, the doctors came running, thought something was wrong. And when they heard I move one finger, everybody was surprised. Then the doctors came, they examined again, and every single morning there was a new improvement. Even the doctor became a believer. When he came to my bedside, the first thing he said to me, "Good morning, Keith. What is new today?" And this was a blessing yes. for me. Yes, indeed. And this is faith and this is hope. And it just doesn't, it didn't just come like that only through prayers. God was so faithful and good to me. I have a praying grandmother. She was always there by my bedside praying. And a very, very good friend. I call him my best man. His name is George Carr. He's always by my side. He came from his work every lunchtime and he would minister the word to me and he would pray with me. And this is what built me and this is what keep me. And this is what I would speak out of my mouth while lying on my bed. Even though I was paralyzed from the neck down, I would decree and declare words and I am healed. And the other patients and the other nurses, the nurses there, they would laugh at me, especially the patients. They would laugh at me when I said, "I am healed." Then when they hear me calling nurse, they would say to me, "Keith, if you are healed, so why are you calling nurse?" And they would make fun of me. But I said, "God says it. You argue with God, not me. God says it is so, and it is so." And I would hold to what I believe. And you know what happened? I excelled to the point at Mona Rehab, where I was able to move my legs, because by this time the feelings and the movement started going down in my foot.
Yes.
Then I started moving my toes, and then I was able to start lifting like a 5 pound in my left hand.
Yes.
The right side was very weak, and they had to strap my leg. And what I was able to do up to a point was to stand in parallel bars. And as the improvement came, a young man who was at Mona Rehab at the time, his name is Errol, said, "Look at Miracle Man." And when I heard that word came out of his mouth, I just latched onto the word, because I knew that as he confessed it and others confess it, the word will become life and become alive into your life. And I just latch on to the word, Miracle Man. And each time they spoke that word, I would respond. You know, words are very powerful. There's a saying that says that words are wind. That is not true. That's one of the biggest lies.
Hmm.
Yes, but words are powerful. Words are life. And we have to be careful, because as the word declares, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what you speak is what you're going to be eating. You understand? So we have to be careful in life how we speak and what we decree and what we declare, because it will become a reality. It may not be now, but later in life, things catch up. And we wonder where this come from in life, and we don't know that it's things that we profess and declare in the past which wasn't dealt with. And as a result, we're reaping these things in our life in the future. So while at Mona, I improved that so much to the point where everyone started calling me Miracle Man, because when I went there, all the persons, the nurses, everyone thought I would have still passed. And while there, I learned how to write, learned how to do a lot of stuff. And then I got an attack after that. One day I was actually in bed, and I don't know what happened, but I felt a pounding headache. And when I felt a pounding headache, I got a seizure. I'm speaking to the best of my knowledge. And after that, all the improvement that I gained from being paralyzed from the neck down and was able to stand in a parallel bar and hold by myself, I lost everything. Every single thing. And one may ask, Keith, you've been paralyzed from the neck down. You have improved so much where you are able to stand and even put out one foot to make a step. And after getting such an attack, you weren't able to do nothing again. You know what I said? The same God who took me from nowhere to that point is able to take me to higher heights and deeper depths. And I'm not going to look at the setback, but I'm going to look in Him who is able to take me far above even where I was before. The setback is only setting me up for a greater testimony. Instead of looking at the circumstances, at the setback in life, I just want to encourage my listeners. Don't look at that. Don't look at that, because it can become a stumbling block in your life for you to move and advance in the future and enjoy what God has established for you before even the foundation of this world. So don't look at your setback and your circumstances, but look to Him who is able to do exceedingly more abundantly and to deliver you out of these things. And I improve a little bit, not to where I went, was at the time where I was able to stand. And my time came at Mona where I had to be discharged. And when I was discharged from Mona, I went and lived at a nursing home. I went and lived at my mom's friends first. Spent a couple of months, about 2-3 months. And then I went and I moved from there and went and lived in a nursing home. It was my first experience at a nursing home. When I went to that home, there was no room in the male section. I had to stay in the female section. And when I went over to the female section, one would say, boy, look at what life come to you. Nursing home and gone into the female section. But you know what I said? I said, Lord, I thank you for a roof over my head where I can lay my head on a good pillow and get a good meal.
Amen.
I give God thanks. And by just giving God thanks, that opened the doors to many more blessings for me. I was at the home, and the Lord just started talking to me. Said, Keith, this is just not it. This is just not it. And I said that to myself. I said, no, even though I'm paralyzed from the neck down, God didn't just made me to just paralyzed from the neck down and to be just thrown out into a home like that. I said, no, this is just not life. And while I was at that home, I prayed and I said, Lord, you are my open door. Provide a way. And I can remember a doctor came there to visit the home. And when he came there, he said to me, and a friend of the doctor came there, and he said to me, Keith, you're such a young man in a home. What are you doing in a home like this? And I explained my situation. The following week, actually, he made arrangement for me to leave that home. Lord used him and spoke to him. And I left that home, went back to Mona Rehab, did further therapy. This time I'm learning how to write, learning how to use typewriters, computers, everything. And I spent a further 6 months at Mona. So in all, I spent nearly 2 years in the hospital. And then I left Mona, went and I lived back into a different home, but the setting was different. This was my church home, Rehoboth Gospel Assembly. They had a home, and the setting was much, much more different. And while at that home, that there was a major turning point in my life there. While at the home there, I started teaching, still paralyzed from the neck down. The nurses' children would come in and they would wait for them. And I say, you know, there's something I can do in life. There must be something I can do. And when the nurses' children would come to the home, I would, you know, interact with them. And I started teaching them CXC maths. It reached to the point where one of the nurses, her son was doing maths that following year. And I said to him, he said that he didn't understand anything at all. I said to him, don't go to no evening class. Just come to me when you come to your mother. And I will spend the time and just sit down and teach you. And when I taught him, he was the only person passing the class. He got a 2, and he was in 10th grade at the time. And he passed the exam, told other people. Another friend came, who his name is Ron McKenzie. Actually, he was my first student. He got a 2. And then I said, no, there is something right here. Then other persons start hearing. And Rod introduced other people. I started teaching them. They got 2s and 1s. They went on to university, not able to do the math in first year. Came back to me. I told them not to go to no class in first year. Just get the syllabus.
Yeah.
Took the syllabus to me. I teach them. And they went and just take the exam. I can remember a young lady, her name is Rosie, said to me, Keith, when I went to the exam, sir said to me, I've never seen you in class before. And when she did the exam, and the exam was finished, she came second in the entire UTEC in first year. And this was another turning point in my life. So it so happened that from the teaching math,
yeah,
then I started to say, you know, I must can go out and work. And so I applied for jobs, applied for 2 jobs, one at Scotiabank and one at RGD, Registrar General Department. I got through with both of them.
Yes.
And I went to Scotia, paralyzed from the neck down, not able to do anything. And while at Scotiabank, I excelled so much that in my group back then, I topped in financial twice. I topped the entire department once. And God is so good. Topping the group, still teaching, And helping people in every aspect in that way.
So hold on, Keith. What I'm hearing from you is that you did not allow the extent of your injuries or your disability to deter you from pursuing the things that you envisioned.
Not at all. Not at all. And my motto, my mantra, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. So it's not about me. It's a man inside of me. And just to encourage persons out there, they too can do it. And persons, when I started to excel just like this, even though I'm paralyzed from the neck down, persons say, Keith, there's so much more people who would want to be encouraged. And this is how I wrote the book, God's Miracle Man Against All Odds. And what I've done, I've placed inside the book practical examples of what I did while going through my situations,
yes,
that persons are able to take away from the book and apply it to their life, that they too can be an overcomer in their circumstances. Just as the question you just asked me, I did not make my circumstances weigh me down and become a stumbling block that I'm not able to move forward in life. And the book is inspiring. It will encourage you. It will teach you. It will take you from that low bar experience, from a low point to a high point where you're able to deliver, where you're able to receive deliverance and become victorious in your situation. And it's available,
yes,
at Kingston Bookshop, Sansa's Bookstore. It's also on Amazon. And you can also go on my website, www.keithtuckerauthor.com, and you can learn some more about the book. And there are other inspirational interviews you can also listen to as well.
Let me ask you, man. That first stint in Mona Rehab, you spoke life and healing into your body. You saw the result. Was your faith shaken when you got that spiritual attack? Because me not call it physical, you know.
That's a very good question. No, it wasn't. And you know what was key? I mentioned earlier that I had two persons in my life who helped me to grow and who stay by my bedside. And his name is George and my grandmother. And they always encourage me. They always pray with me. And they would always read the word and teach me the word. And this is what keep me going. So instead of keep my focus on the situation I'm going through,
yes,
I'm focused on the word. And this is what strengthens me and keep me going every day.
Amen.
It's spiritual food.
Amen. Amen. Are you stronger for it, man?
Yes, man.
Keith, we're out of time, my brother. Your testimony of itself is a word of encouragement for persons listening. But if you could leave one nugget with our listeners, whatever it is that they're facing, one nugget to take them through and to take them over.
This is what I would say. My friend asked me, Keith, that fateful day when you went to country, have you ever sorry that you went down there? And you know what I said to him? Whatever lies behind you and whatever lies before you cannot be compared to whatever lies inside of you. And what do I mean by that? Whatever lies behind you is a past. Never let it become a stumbling block to hold you back in life. And sometimes we are so afraid to move in the future because of fear and doubt. Never let that happen to you. But look at whatever lies inside of you. As a matter of fact, I should say, who lies inside of you? The Holy Spirit, who is able to do exceedingly more abundantly than you can ever ask or think. And that's the key thing I would leave with my listeners.
Amen. Thanks for those powerful words, my brother. And thank you for sharing your testimony, because I'm sure we have some friends right now at Mona Rehab listening, and they probably have found a new lease on life based on your words of encouragement. Thank you so very much, man.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure to be on air to share my testimony, that others will be blessed in whatever situation they are going through. God bless.
God bless you, my brother.
Yes.
There you have it, the Miracle Man.